Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
So I actually picked up my camera, my first DSLR in 2012, when my son was almost one.
Oh, cute, yeah.
So, but I didn't know this was going to happen.
That's how life is sometimes, though.
Right? And oh my gosh, Nahama, I remembered I fell in love. That's the day I fell in love with weddings, because from then on, I was helping her second shooting. I was her secondary photographer, and I loved it. And I just kept coming back. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to work for you. Let's let me, you know. I'm on board.
Yeah.
And then one day she's like, hey, my friend's getting married. I want to be enjoying myself at the wedding. I think you're ready. I think you're ready. And that's how Christina Schmidt Photography was basically born. So feel me when I bring it, sing it loud.
I'm from the loop and I'm proud. Run a mile for the cause. I'm right. Hi, guys. It's your girl, Nahama, your favorite Jew from the Lou. Welcome back to my podcast. And today I am very excited to have my guest with me, Iris Schmidt. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. This has been such a long time coming. And I just love to go into like how I know my guests. And like you in particular totally captured me in your introduction, because we met through Babes in Business.
That's right.
And there's always this moment in the beginning of Babes in Business where we all like are sitting in a big circle and we're introducing ourselves. And like, I'm a hopeless romantic. And then you said that you were a wedding photographer, but you talked about how you just love weddings and you love love. And it all like stemmed from the fact that you just had the best time, you know, preparing and organizing your own wedding. Then now you want to take that magic and you want to instill that with all of your future clients.
Right.
So I would love to get into like you and your story and like your hopeless romanticness.
Well, let me just go back to how we first met.
Yeah.
You were just so bubbly, and that's me as well. You were just, your energy was just fantastic. And I was naturally like, I was naturally gravitating towards you. You're just so... your energy was just so vibrant. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to meet this girl. And we started talking. Actually, were you the first one to say hi to me?
I might have been.
We had a break and we started talking and you're like, yeah, I'm a hopeless romantic because I told you I was a wedding photographer, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
But I love weddings. I love being in the moment and witnessing the first look. If you choose to do a first look, that's like my favorite thing to do, to watch. It's a very... it's a privilege, honestly.
It's a raw moment.
It is. I must say, I'm going to go into it right now. It's my favorite part is the first dance, the father-daughter first dance. Or, sorry, father-daughter dance in the first dance section. I don't know why I can't say that. But there's just something about it that's so, it's just so sweet. And, like, I'm, like, behind my lens, like, tearing up as well when I'm seeing the father and daughter dancing. And I'm like, so sweet. And the dads, I mean, they just like melt when they do their first dance with their daughter. You could see just how much they love their little girl and sending them off to, you know, to be with their partner for the rest of their lives. It's just, it's a privilege to be a part of their day. And as a photographer, it's just amazing to get to capture that moment. So
yeah, not to like go in there, but like, you're right. That is such a sweet moment. But I'm sure you've also done like a lot of weddings where either there wasn't like a good relationship with the dad, or the dad's not in the picture, or maybe the dad's no longer alive. Mm-hmm. What do people usually do then? Is it like maybe the bride dances with her mom sometimes, I've seen, or?
The One that I've witnessed quite a bit of is if they have, I've seen several ways that they've actually honored that moment. The bride danced with her mom, and that was one. And then another example would be dancing with their brother. And that's really
cool. That's really sweet.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I love that.
Another one too is that the bride felt like her mother was also very important and very crucial. So she wanted to have that dance with both of her parents.
Oh, that's really sweet.
So that's an option. That's an opportunity if you wanted to do that. See, a wedding is not just like a cookie cutter thing. You can make it the way how you want it to be. Weddings is all about you and your love for your partner.
Yeah.
It's about you guys and also honoring the people in your lives as well, I think. It's not just 100% just for you guys. It's a way for you to honor everyone else. So if you do the first dances or the father-daughter, mother dance, make it you. Make it uniquely yourself, about you and your partner, right? And sometimes when you put in things that, so now there's so many, I've seen so many weddings, and I feel like there are some instances where, wow, they did this at so-and-so's wedding. You can get caught up in that and you want to try to do the same thing as they did.
Yeah.
But I always say that I always feel like you should always make it uniquely about you. What makes sense to you guys as a couple?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So like if the two of you love coffee, right? Like you guys bonded over coffee, you and your partner. You could spin that off. You could use, like, for example, like a buffet as your party favors.
Yeah.
Right?
And that a coffee bar at a wedding. And I've seen that.
A coffee bar at a wedding. Mm-hmm. How amazing is that? So I think because we've seen a lot of things that's been done over and over that doesn't make sense to necessarily to the couple just because they thought it was fun.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important to incorporate something that makes the two of you unique as a couple and something that really brought you guys together. And then your guests are more likely to really remember that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh my gosh, yes, they both love coffee. I do remember her telling me that story. And like, how sweet is that?
I think when you have an authentic wedding that's so truly yours and it really fits you as a couple, that's what makes it memorable.
Right.
You know, not so much. And like as a photographer, that energy is so much more fun to capture.
Yes.
Because I'm sure you've dealt with it all. Emotions run high.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sure. There's a lot of things can happen on a wedding day and have to be ready for that.
Yeah. In the Jewish world, there's a tradition in the Orthodox Jewish world that like the week before the wedding, the bride and groom are not supposed to talk.
The week before the wedding?
The week before. You're not supposed to see each other. You're not supposed to talk because that's when emotions are so high. And like that's when you could say something that can truly like break up the wedding.
Right.
So it's like even more emotionally charged the first time you see each other. It's wild because I remember both my brothers when they were setting up their apartment because they didn't live together with their spouses before they got married.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to like have their friends and their family members network times to figure out when they can go to set up the apartment because they couldn't see each other.
Just trying to find the logistics of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's going to be here. Make sure he's not there at that moment. You know, I think that's great. I think that's awesome. Do whatever works for you or what fits your vibe and your, you know, culture, I guess. But for me, I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience.
Yes.
My own wedding. One of the things, if I could go back, is that I wish I had listened to what I felt was fitting for my husband and I at the time, you know, as an engaged couple. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up with like the traditions, and I respect traditions. I think that's great. And to honor your family in such a way is great, right? I know that I really wanted to have the first look with my husband.
Mm.
I really, 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 I think that was, I don't know why. I just keep coming back to that because witnessing couples do a first look and I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. You know, it's just the two of them and then me, but I'm quietly just kind of, you know, walking around taking the photos. We had listened to advice from, you know, our family. Like, oh, you don't see each other the day until you walk down the aisle.
Mm.
You don't do that. I'm like, why not? Like, we're a modern couple.
Yeah.
I want to see him and he wanted to see me too. But so we listened to our family members, you know, to the advice. But looking back, I wish we had done that because it would have got, I mean, it doesn't matter now, but looking back, I wish we had done that for ourselves, like stood up like, hey, no, we want to see each other because we want to have that moment before we walk down the aisle.
Yeah.
Right. But like, what, I mean, the second I saw him as I turned the corner to walk down the aisle, it was just like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I'm getting married.
That's so cool.
So I think that just going back, I always just say that it's always great to just do what feels right for you because it's your wedding day and you only get to do it one time.
Right? Hopefully.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
My mom was so cute because my parents, their second marriage for both of them. And so by her second wedding, she just made it super chill. It was like in the basement of a shul. It wasn't really fancy at all. And she wore like a knee-length dress because she felt silly.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
About wearing like a all out full length white gown. Yeah. She was like over it at that point. She was 36. She had two kids already. And so she ended up wearing like a blush pink.
That's perfect.
And the people still talk about their wedding because it was just fun and chill. And
yeah,
it's just so, you know, and I think it could be overwhelming too, especially nowadays with like Instagram and Pinterest and TikTok. Like there's so many ideas out there. Mm-hmm. And then especially once you start getting into it and you hire a wedding planner and then they start really talking, it could be like completely overwhelming.
It is. That's why I believe in hiring. If there are people that are offering the help, that's great. But I would always say, if you need the help, hire the professionals. Mm. Like hire a wedding planner, even if it's like a day of coordination, because you want to be present on your wedding day.
Yes.
Not stressed out.
Yes.
Not freaking out about, you cannot possibly control everything that happens on your wedding day. Mm-hmm. You just have to trust that the professional that you hired are doing their job.
Right.
Right. So if you have that means or the option to hire the professionals, especially, like I said, I couldn't stress, like hiring a wedding planner is a big thing. I think
Huge. You
are going to feel more relaxed. You're going to be more at peace at that moment and really able to like eyes wide open to absorb everything that's happening on your wedding day. Because so many things fly by, like, okay, so you sit down to do makeup. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh my gosh, we're like getting ready to walk down the aisle because the day goes by so fast. Mm.
Everyone says it's like a blur.
It really is.
Like a fever dream almost.
It really is.
Yeah.
And
that's for people who aren't even drinking. If you're drinking too, like forget it, you know?
My job though is to make sure that I try, oh my gosh, it's so hard sometimes because my creative side just kind of starts to flow, but I try not to be so intrusive when I'm photographing a wedding day. I try not to be very intrusive and insert myself in it and make it about me. For lack of a better word, I want to make sure that you're present and that you're enjoying it. So from time to time, obviously we have a timeline that you, the bride or the couple and I would discuss, and we're going to try to follow that. I say try because you have to be flexible with whatever the day throws at you.
Life be lifing.
That's right. So from time to time, let's say you did something amazing or like the way you looked at your partner or your spouse or spouse-to-be, I may say, hey, for example, like, Nama, would you mind just leaning your head back down like that for just one moment? Because in all reality, there's no way I'm able to like capture every single bit of the day. But if I see something that's like, gosh, that just moves me, I'm like, I just absolutely love the way you just effortlessly lay your head on his shoulder. Can we please do that again? Is that okay? So I will take that moment because I feel like that's something that's worth really truly capturing. Because then you can look back and like, oh yeah, I remember when you asked me to do that, but I remember what I felt right before, like I was doing that. Does that make sense? Like, I know I did that. Why was I doing that? And you got thinking, I'm like, oh my gosh, and I was just thinking this or that. So yeah, so I try not to be, you know, very intrusive, I guess. And I try not to be like sticking my face at you every second of the day. Like, okay, we're going to do this now. This is what we're going to be doing. I try to just let the day flow. And if there's something that's definitely worth capturing that I need to pause, stop everything. We have to redo that one because that light is absolutely gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
Then I will definitely interject and say, okay, let's take a break. Let's take that shot. Let's capture that moment.
Do you know how many weddings you've done at this point? Do you have a tally?
No, I really don't know. So I started my LLC in 2013.
Okay.
Honestly, in 2012, can I go into this and how I got started? Is that okay?
Yeah.
So I actually picked up my camera, my first DSLR in 2012 when my son was almost one.
Oh, cute. Yeah.
So, but I didn't know this was going to happen.
That's how life is sometimes, though.
Right?
Yeah.
So I really was just passionate about capturing my son at the time. And I had actually met another mom. So where I had given birth, there was a support group for first-time moms.
Oh, wow.
It's really awesome, actually. So we started, they encourage us to come once a week. And I actually started looking forward to going to these moms' meeting. There's like several kinds. There's like first time mom support, like breastfeeding support, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I met this woman and we just started connecting and bonding and we just connected. I don't even know what we said to each other, but we started meeting. She goes, hey, would you like to come over to my house sometime? And I did the same thing. Like, do you want to come over and have coffee? We're just like back and forth. So we ended up inviting each other to our houses and we let the boys run. She has a boy too and play. And we would just chill and chat. It's just like having another mom that understands what you're going through.
A
mom friend.
You need
right.
a mom friend.
Right.
So someone who's not going to be mad about the diapers or the crying right. or the mess. Yeah.
Then I had learned a little bit more about her. And she said, then one day, she's like, hey, I need some help. She's a wedding photographer. She goes, I need some help. Do you think that you could just kind of tag along and just help me out?
Nice.
Right? So yeah. I said, yeah, I would love to, but I don't really know. You know, she goes, yeah, just come along. I know you want to learn how to run your DSLR, you know, be able to take photos with your DSLR. So why not? And oh my gosh, Nahama, I remembered I fell in love. That's the day I fell in love with weddings because from then on, I was helping her second shooting. I was her secondary photographer and I loved it. And I just kept coming back. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to work for you. Let's let me, you know, I'm on board.
Yeah.
And then one day she's like, hey, my friend's getting married. I want to be enjoying myself at the wedding. I think you're ready. I think you're ready. And that's how Christina Schmidt Photography was basically born. It came about. And then, you know, part of the passion and the fire and the drive was from my own wedding experience. Can I talk about this?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Everyone wants to know like all about you because it's so interesting to hear the behind the scenes story, right? And I think when you hear people's passion and like what got them started, that's what makes people so intrigued to like want to work with you, right? Because there's so many photographers.
Yeah.
So this is what makes, I think, you stand out because you are your brand, right?
Right. Exactly. So from my own, so my husband and I, you know, we planned our own wedding. We paid for our own wedding. And one of the things that at the time that we didn't really put a lot of, you know, budget and effort to it was photography.
Mm.
Yes. Yes. So we spent the money on obviously the bar.
Yep.
When you're in your late 20s, you know, that's what that was important to
it's
us.
A party for your friends and your family.
Right. So yeah. The bar. Yes. We have to have the bar. We have to have good food. I'm like, okay, great. And then the DJ. Yes. Okay. Three things done. We were like happy. We did that. But we didn't really consider how much, well, for me anyway, as a creative, as a photographer now, I'm like, oh, you didn't really stop to think about that at that moment because you're wedding planning can be very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to check off the list sometimes. And the young Iris was just like checking off list. Okay. Cause I was like focus driven. We're going to do this. You and I tag teaming this. Arr, we got it.
Yeah.
So at the time we found, this photographer on Craigslist.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
What was the Craigslist days? Oh my gosh. I'm like dating myself.
I feel like Craigslist is still a thing though.
Is it still a thing?
I think so. Maybe Facebook Marketplace has kind of taken
over that.
Over it.
Yeah. But at the time, you know, Craigslist was the place to like find these things, but you're right. I think it's Facebook Market that's kind of replaced that. But, you know, we love our photographers. They're great people, great human beings, sweet, kind. But I think at the time they were also at their very beginning stages of where they're at, right? So I respect them kindly. They worked really hard on our wedding day. We fed them, of course, all the stuff. We had a great time with them. It was a great day overall. But you know, when you look back, I wish that we had really voiced our opinion more on the things that I would have wanted to capture.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. The things that was more important to us. And also, when you hire a professional, you're going to trust them and expect them to do the things that you wouldn't necessarily think of, right? What that's going to be important to you down the road. Moments that should have been captured but weren't captured. Or people that have had many experiences in their industry or have been in the industry for many years, they've also learned from their experience from those many years, right? So being able to handle certain situations is very important as a wedding photographer.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be a fly on the wall.
No.
You have to
get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Be able to defuse certain situations or step up to the game and find a solution to something because you know that they would want that captured, right? At least that is the passion. That is the fire and the passion behind when I'm behind the camera and on the wedding day. Like, I know they're going to want this.
Yeah.
Like, they need to have this moment. They need to have this photo, even if it just for 2 minutes. We need to capture that. We have to have that moment. Okay, it's raining. Weather is like a factor in St. Louis. You don't know what it's going to be like. It's like...
in one day, it could be three different weather situations. Yeah.
You have to be ready for situations.
Just be adaptable, yeah.
Yes, you have to just pivot. Embrace the day. Embrace what the day's thrown at you. I know I say that a lot because that's what I always tell my wife. You just have to like embrace the day. Embrace what is thrown at you for the day.
Yeah.
And be able to pivot.
Yeah.
Right? Because it wouldn't be a wedding day if it's 100% perfect to the T.
No.
The way you had planned it.
So fun fact, in Judaism, we believe that like it is such a holy, spiritual, electrically charged day that like Satan is going to like try to get in the way because it's such an amazing thing that's happening as two souls coming together to start a family. So that's why there's all those little hiccups that really in retrospect aren't a big deal, but in the moment seem like a catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
So in like Orthodox Jewish weddings, we don't have like bridesmaids or like the maid of honor, but there is someone who's called a shomaret, which basically means like the safeguard.
Okay.
And so she's with the bride all day long. And your shomaret could be your mom. It could be your best friend. So I've been a shomaret for a lot of my friends at their weddings.
Oh, so sweet.
And my sister-in-law taught me like all these like things to know, which is how to diffuse situations, how to protect the peace of the bride so she's not aware of anything, like all is well. And then also like the rule that my sister-in-law told me to pass on to all brides, and maybe you could pass this on to brides as well, is that things are going to go wrong. We're going to give ourselves up to 10 things that will go wrong. And every time we get to something, we'll count it as 1, 2, 3, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get to 10, we're not freaking out. once we surpass 10, then we could start freaking out. But like the little things that go on, like we'll just, like you say, embrace it, embrace the day, and just go with the flow.
Wow. That sounds right. I think I like that. Count to 10.
Yeah.
Things that have gone wrong. And if you...
10, you know, if we finally reach the 10th thing that's gone wrong.
I doubt it.
But
I doubt
you usually don't. 10, right? That's why 10's a good one to go to.
That's, you know, I might have to implement that. That's really cool.
It's
I'll
really
have to
helpful.
Tell my brides about this.
And it helps set expectations, right? Because I think everyone has this expectation of like this perfect, flawless day, especially because when you're looking at other people's videos and stuff, what do you see? You see the perfect version that the photographer and the videographer has edited out all the drama and all that, right?
Yes.
One trend, I don't know if it's still going on, but like, God willing, when I get married, I want to implement it. I want like a magical professional photographer like yourself to capture like the good moments, the glory moments. But then there's also this type of photographer that's called not your wedding photographer. Have you heard of this?
No. Tell me about it.
The not your wedding photographer is a wedding photographer who captures all the awkward moments, like the flower girl picking her nose and like the grandfather falling asleep during the ceremony and like the random, real, authentic moments.
Listen, we do the same. We capture the perfect, the not so perfect, the funny, the tears. Everything.
Oh, good. So I feel like that's part of it, right? Because I don't want it to just be perfect. I want to capture everything.
And I deliver all of that into your gallery if it's there. If heaven forbid, but if you're, say you're talking about a flower girl, if your flower girl decides she's going to cry in the middle of the aisle and just start crying.
Oh, those are really cute photos,
though. Let's capture it.
That's cute.
I want that captured because then you're like, oh my gosh, you did do that. You know?
And she could look at it like 10 years later and be like, remember when you were like the devil child?
Right. The one thing that was really funny because you're talking about this, my photographers did capture was I was taking a nap because with my chin on the back of a chair because I did not want to mess up my makeup. I did not want to ruin my hair. So I was taking a nap and they were able to capture that.
That's amazing.
It was, I like that photo. It was just me though, but I mean, I still like looking at that image.
It was a moment. It totally brought you back to the
because
day.
Yes, precisely. Because I remembered right before that, they had finished with my hair because I had it up like really tight. I wish I'd like could go back and just wear my hair down because this is how I do my hair now.
Yeah.
I remembered sleeping face down, taking like a power nap on the bedroom. Now that would have been a fun photo to capture, right? And you know, I just want to go back to something that being able to pivot on wedding days, right? Something again from my experience from my own wedding. While I was walking down the aisle, we were going up, so like the guys are on the other side, the girls on the other side, and there was a tornado that was going right through St. Louis at the time, and we're getting ready to go up. The door just like blew open because the tornado literally went right through.
Oh my God!
I know, and everybody because of that, everyone remembers our wedding day because as I was getting ready to turn to walk down the aisle, the door just flew open, right? And so for the brides, that I hope this never happens if you're in couples, I just remembered, how did I handle that? I just remembered being ushered back down to the basement and they just pretty much created a cocoon over me and they're like, it's okay, everything's okay, there's no tornadoes, it's all right, yeah, we're all safe down here. And I, you know, and again, this is something that is out of my control, it's out of anybody's control, and I just embrace it. There's no need to stress, there's no need to, that was the St. Louis weather that's being thrown at me at that day, so I just let it, I just wrote it, we sat down. I'm just happy that everybody was safe and no one was hurt. And then, a few minutes later, you know, a couple moments later, we were back up and ready to do the ceremony again. You know, my grandpa did joke though, he said, to my husband, to be at the time, he's like, son, this is your sign. Like, this is your ticket. Mother Nature's trying to tell you something. Oh, I love him to that. He's in heaven now. But no, I just wanted to just talk about that because you know, that was kind of a scary moment. Looking back at it now, I wasn't scared at the time, but I chose to just handle it in a way that it's because I know that I couldn't control the situation.
Like, yeah,
that's another St. Louis weather thing that's been thrown at me. So I guess my point being is that if something isn't going well on your wedding day, just remember, this is just something minor, right? It could be worse. Something could be going on, and you just have to be able to pivot and to just embrace it and figure out a way to, because you always have two choices when something is thrown at you, right?
Yeah.
So choose the best one that you think is going to have the best outcome, right?
Absolutely. This is a full circle moment to be sitting here with you. And I know when we had like first talked about it, I'm a big believer in like the timing of when I meet with my guests, when the episodes are released. Like, it really always works out exactly when it's supposed to. And like, I could see now why sitting here at this moment is actually totally in alignment. Because when we first met, this was back in January. And then I think within the month we met for dinner just to like talk about what we were, I think we were just going to talk as friends. And then you're like, I might want to take you up on your offer. And then like, so this has been like a few months in the making, but mm-hmm. I've changed my perspective on photography since we met.
Yeah.
Because it was actually at my second brother's wedding when I was 17 that turned me off of having photos taken. Because at his wedding, that particular photographer kept stopping the wedding to have us pose for photos. And I'm not talking about like the official posed photos. I'm talking about like during the dancing, during the like.
Oh.
And I was so turned off by that because I was like, are we here to have a wedding or are we here to stage a wedding for the photos?
Cute.
Yeah. And so I was just so turned off by that. And then after that, I got really into this mentality with everything in my life where I'm like, I want to be present. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take photos. And then social media really started to blow up when I was in high school and in my early 20s. And so like, it was the thing where you go out to dinner and everyone's like, oh, the camera eats first. Mm-hmm. And everyone's capturing everything.
I think we all do that.
Well, I didn't in the beginning. And then like, I didn't have social media till I was 22.
Okay.
And so I only got back onto social media because for my podcast and then later for my coffee brand, Le Cafe, that I like.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday, good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Realize the importance of it, but because I wasn't part of that cultural journey of photography and social media, I was so uncomfortable. And I know something we've definitely bonded and talked over is how uncomfortable it feels as a creator and as an entrepreneur to put yourself out there on social media and do these reels that feel cringy.
Yes.
But do very well and get us followers and get us business.
Yes.
Right? And the more authentic we are with them, the better they are. So starting, I want to say maybe about a month or two ago, I decided to take on a challenge where every day I make a reel.
Wow.
On my personal page.
Okay.
So there's no... I think when it comes to our brand and our business, we want to be perfect, right? We're very strategic about it.
Right.
But with my personal one, I'm like, what could be a reel today?
Sounds like me. I wake up and I'm like, what do I want to create today?
Right. And I have a rule that I can't keep things for the next day.
Oh, whoa.
So I can't like have them saved up. I have to be creating every single day.
Okay.
So... what it's done is I've gotten more comfortable being in front of the camera. This is a different type of camera. Being in front of like a reel and doing authentic like conversations in front of like your phone. I don't know. It just feels different. It's just a different beast.
It is.
And like I've gotten better with transitions, with editing, figuring out timing. And so it's like I've gotten to the point now where I realize that there's something so beautiful about documenting your life. you know, we give so much slack to these influencers. Like, oh, did you really set up a camera to take that video when you and your husband found out, like, the gender reveal or things like that? But that's so special. Mm-hmm. And or to see, like, a husband's reaction to, like, the first time he sees the baby stroller. You know, like, those kinds of things are really special. And they have those. And I think something I've realized as I've gotten older is we take for granted the people, the moments, the memories, the places that we are. Mm-hmm. And they're fleeting. Mm-hmm. So to be able to capture them, mm-hmm. I think is really special. Yeah. So I've found more of like a balance. So that's why I was saying with the timing of having you come here and you also talking about how back when you did your wedding, mm-hmm. photography was the one thing that you're like, I know I need it, but mm-hmm. I want to have good food. I want an open bar. I want a DJ. Right. Like, let's make this the best party ever.
Right.
But like, that's a fleeting day. It's one day of mm-hmm. your life, but it's such an important day.
Yeah.
So,
two things.
Yeah.
You're talking about fleeting moments. This is why I think it's important to film, to take the photos or hire a professional to do it if you can, or would you'd rather be present. But let me just say that to me as a mom of two, I wish I had taken more videos of my little ones because, you know, my phone gives me this memory 3 years ago, 5 years ago, and my babies were babies then, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh. And the one thing that I failed as a photographer is that I wish I had done regular photo shoots, hired a professional regularly, which actually I have been in the last couple of years, like 5 years, been taking, hiring somebody to do our photos just because I want to be in the photos too.
Yeah.
I want my kids to see me. Not only do I want to see them, but I want to be in the photos with them. So I think it's important to film yourself, film your family. And I know some people are weird about that, but I mean, I respect their wishes if they don't want to be filmed. So for my kids, they're going to be filmed all the time. They're like, wow. No, I think it's important. Like you said, when you look back at that, and some of these people may not be with us, you want to go back and to be able to flip your photo album or, you know, pull it up on your cloud of whatever story and watch that video.
And I think as women especially, we have such high standards for how we want to appear. Mm. And it's become even harder now with mm-hmm. like how filtered the world has become. Mm-hmm. And we all use filters. We all adjust the lighting. Yeah. But at the same time, like, I've looked back on those memories of myself of photos that maybe I didn't want to post or whatever. And I'm like, why was I so hard on myself?
Yeah.
Like, I was so cute. Like, I was just so hard on myself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, like, you're going to – I think – you know what inspires me a lot, too? Sex and the City is one of my favorite TV shows.
Oh, my gosh. You're bringing me back.
And Samantha did a boudoir session.
Okay.
Where she was like – not in a relationship, just for her. She's like, I'm never going to be this young again. Oh, and my body is fabulous. And I want to capture it. And then she just had her boudoir photos like hanging
in
her apartment.
That's a really great topic here. So I'm going to put a pin to that. But I want to go back to you talking about reels and putting yourself out there because we are the face of our business.
Yeah.
Especially in the service industry as photography. I put myself out there. I was in the same boat as you not long ago. Like, I was already, prior to meeting you, I was already making videos, reels, just for my own personal page, whether it's just my kids or me on my personal Instagram account. But ever since attending one of those babes and my very first one, gosh, and then meeting you, that's when I really was, my mind was just open to like, oh my gosh, yes, all these women, right, are the face of our business is us, right? We need to be out there putting ourselves and letting everybody know what we offer, what we can help you with. And so the whole reel thing, I was just like you. I was like, this is cringe. This is so weird. Because it's not in our, we're business people.
Right.
We're not.
We're like, what do you mean I have to document myself? I'm already putting myself out there.
But here, I found it to be another outlet of my creativity.
100%.
Right? Because I tend to, when there's something that I really want to learn that I'm really obsessed about, I hyper-focus.
Yes.
It's just like, I will stay up until wee hours just learning if I have to, right?
Yes.
And the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, well, I shouldn't, but that's one thing that I'll do. Like, whether it is like cookie making, royal icing cooking, cookie making, I was so into that too. It's just an extension of my creativity.
Yeah.
The same thing with the resin work. I was doing that too because I was obsessed. Like, I learned all of that in one day. But with the reels, I hyper-focus like you did. You just start to like do it and create it. And next thing you get better. And before, the more you practice it, the more you do it.
Yes.
It became fun. At first, okay, listen. At first, it was really cringy. It was uncomfortable. But there is something to be said about stepping out of your comfort zone and doing something you've never done. Something that's uncomfortable.
Yep.
Right? And with that, I had learned so much about myself. I learned something new, learning how to edit all these photos and do the cuts, and might even bring a little bit of my dancing moves back in high school, but you know.
But if you're willing to do that, that's what gets the people's attention. People love the dancing videos.
Oh my gosh, no, you don't want to see me dancing anymore, but I did one or two, and my son, you know, he was like, here's what I've been telling everybody now ever since I made that video of me dancing. Oh my gosh, I told myself, one thing, never say never.
Right.
And here I said, I would never dance on anything, but I dance. Now, my son, here's how I know I'm doing it right. Because I show it to him and he's like, and you know, kids these days, they're amazing at technology. Like, he can create something really fast. But I will show him my reel. I'm like, watch this. And he's like, oh, and he's so polite. That's so nice, Mom. I'm like, what? He's like, ugh, that's a little cringe. I'm like, yes, I've done my job.
Yeah.
And I will definitely post it out there if he says it's cringe.
Right. Because I feel like there's also different like demographics. First of all, he's your son.
Well, right.
Everything you do is going to be cringe, right?
Exactly. Because he's not my audience. He's not my target market or whatever it is. But if he says it's cringe, then I feel like I've done my job because I'm also authentically being myself.
Yes.
When you see me on my reels,
your energy and your vibrancy comes through and the bubbliness, and it's so fun. Like, it makes you want to work with you.
And it's just fun to just let all your guards down and be yourself. I have learned this. I have not learned it. I have just come to realize this. You know, the more you do these, the more I do these reels. And for you as well, right? The more you you create these reels and these videos and you're like, wow, okay, this is actually, it's feeding a part of your soul that
needs to create.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Precisely.
And the great thing I found this, the shift is back in the day, I would make reels sporadically. Mm. And then whenever I would make a reel, I'd be like checking Instagram 24/7 being like, who looked at it? What are the metrics? Like, who likes it? Like, all these things. And what's so awesome about being in this concept of creating a reel a day is that you're not worried about how people are receiving them because you're constantly in creator mode.
Right.
So your energy is just really good because I'm a big believer in when you're...
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your brand, when you're a founder of something, your energy is felt. And it's so important to have the right mindset because whether you realize it or not, consciously or subconsciously, people pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
So when your energy is in the right place, that's when you attract the right people.
Yeah.
On that note, I wanted to ask you. So obviously, people are getting married all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But what's your ideal client? Like, what are you really looking for?
Ooh, hot seat.
Right. I mean, obviously, we're not listening to like money, right? But
who doesn't?
But
my ideal client would be somebody that allows me to be truly creative, somebody that trusts my vision.
Mm-hmm.
And that trust usually happens, or you can kind of feel that during your meetings, you know, when a client reaches out to me, a potential client reaches out to me, a couple, of course, they've probably already likely have checked out my website. They have already likely checked out my Instagram or whatever platform they're favoring. But this is why also I like to put myself out there more on Instagram now, because I want them to get to know the true me, because maybe that's not the kind of person they want to be with all day long on their wedding day.
Right.
You know, I mean, let's face it, as a wedding photographer, I'm going to be there for 8 hours. You're going to see this face for 8 hours, and you want to make sure that we are driving. But at the end of the day, of course, I'm there to do a job. But my ideal client is someone who allows me to do my job in a way that I can truly capture your wedding day authentically. It's hard when you're being micromanaged by somebody during the day. I understand. I work very closely with planners because I like to take cues from them as well, right? They're such key to a wedding day. So I might like say, hey, where are we at on this? We kind of work together. But when you don't have someone constantly, I shouldn't say it that way. When you have all the freedom to do the creative things and your couple trusts you 110%, it really allows me to just create beautiful images and capture all those details and moments that's going to be timeless and classic.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's your wedding day. It's not, every couple is different. It's not going to be, yes, everybody gets married, but your day is uniquely you, right? The relationships in that little pod of your family, that's you guys, that's uniquely your family.
Yeah.
So capturing the day as it unfolds is one of my favorite things to do. Well, yeah, of course we're going to do like the photo opportunities, right? Like, okay, we're going to allot XYZ for this photo, and that's a totally different kind of animal, you know, but I'm getting this one just talking about it, honestly. I'm like, oh, because I love it.
Yeah.
Being able to have a moment with your grandma or grandpa, right? Like taking a photo of them as they greet you first for the first time seeing you. Like, you're going to want to treasure those photos down the road, because it's not a staged photo. It was your grandpa coming up to you, giving you a hug, or just being silly to you or whatever. That's a moment that's now frozen in time, and you can go back and look at it and say, oh yeah, it's like another way to honor them, and just be like, wow, I remember that moment.
You know, I saw something really sweet where it was by the ceremony, if you have loved ones who are passed, having chairs dedicated for them, which I thought was very sweet too. Because in Judaism, by weddings, we believe that I think it's up to 3 generations of past loved ones are there present on your wedding day.
Oh my God.
There's so many like traditions that are so meaningful in Jewish weddings. Like one of my favorite ones, well, first of all, when you're walking down the aisle, there's like a lot of symbolism to keep in mind. But like when you walk down, you step with the right foot first because you want to start on the right foot to get married.
Okay.
And then like it's both parents who walk you down the aisle. You have one on each arm. And some couples have the tradition where like halfway through, the husband comes and gets you and walks you to the second part, which is almost like a handing off onto the next stage too, which is so beautiful. And then you're standing under the chuppah, which is the covering, and then the bride will circle the groom. It's 7 or 8 times. Goodness, I'm blanking on it now. It's 7 or 8 times, but basically there's, I want to say it's 7 because there's 7 layers between us and where like God's throne is, like in terms of like the sky and like those spiritual realms. So there's that symbolism, but then also each one is like a spiritual surrounding that the wife is creating around her husband, because she's like the heart of the home, the soul of the home. And it's also a wall that you're creating around your husband where you're telling other women, back off. He's mine.
Marking your territory, right?
Yeah. And then like at the wedding, like you don't do typical vows like in non-Jewish weddings where like, and then the bride and groom both say, I do. You don't do that. There's a bunch of blessings. There's 7 blessings that are given by different rabbis. Okay. And then the ring is put actually on the index finger right here.
Yeah.
Because there is a vein that goes directly to the heart. But we wear it on our ring finger, but like at the ceremony. It's put there. And then he says, Harayat Mikudeshet Li, which means that you are holy to me. But the Hebrew word for holy also means separate. So he's separating you from like everyone else. Like you're special, you're different, you're mine. And like the woman doesn't say anything like during the ceremony. And there's always this running joke where that's the first and last time that your Jewish wife will not say anything to you.
Gosh,
but it's so sweet.
Cool. Yeah, that is so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's so much fun with symbolism. And like, I was one of those kids when I was younger who like always had dreams about like the exact way that I wanted my wedding to be. Mm-hmm. But like with maturity, as I've gotten older, I realized I'm like, to be honest, I'm not 100% sure what I want my wedding to be like because I've changed so much as a person over the years.
Yeah.
And I haven't met my person yet. And like when he and I meet, who we are, like you said earlier, yeah. I want it to be about both of us.
Yes.
So I can't dream and plan a wedding without knowing who he is and knowing right. what that's going to be.
But I feel like that's just our like society in general, you know, little girl dreaming about their wedding.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the big white dress. And I mean, all the Disney movies from when we were young are all like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's just naturally, I feel like, how we're going to be thinking about our own wedding.
But want to be a princess.
Yes, yeah. Right. But when you do meet your person, it's going to change a whole lot. I mean,
right.
Not only do you have to just plan the things that you want for your own wedding, mm-hmm. you also say, well, what would you like, honey?
Right. And hopefully there's someone who wants to be involved. Right.
Right.
Because some people are very much like, don't care, whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen that too. But
I think once you really include someone, then they'll be interested.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think my husband and I, we split the responsibilities, but there were some major responsibilities for planning-wise, decision-wise for our wedding.
Yeah.
We were jointly in it together.
Well, especially because you're paying for it jointly too.
Oh, yeah.
That affects a lot of the...
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We had to sit down and like, okay, what is what are we going to...
Your non-negotiables as well.
Right. And yeah. we, our 3 non-negotiables, as I mentioned, was...
DJ.
DJ.
Food and an open bar.
Well, I mean, we were in our 20s. That
yeah.
was important to us, what was important to
yeah.
us at the time. But yeah, that is, you know, just in, like I said, going back, looking at the big picture, that is the passion and the fire that drives me when I show up to a wedding day, is that I want to make sure that my couples are going to not only love their photos, but I'm authentically capturing their wedding day so that down the road it's classic and timeless and they can go back to it and look at it and have the photos that really truly mean something, right? Not aside from just the big photo perfect moment. Like you said, it was kind of annoying for you at your brother's wedding that this photographer was stopping you. It's not a wedding is not a big style shoot. It is somebody's wedding day.
Yeah.
And that's how I approach it every time I set foot to someone's day, is that that's the fire. And my goal is to make sure I'm serving the couple the way they will want to be. They want their day captured. And so when they look back at these photos, whether if they choose to get an album or not digitally, I welcome both ways. I know people say you have to have a tangible thing. But wasn't I just talking about earlier, like my phone is giving me updates and videos and photos of my kids.
Yeah.
I respect both. If you decide not to get an album, that's great. But either way, these moments and the most important things need to be captured authentically.
Yeah. So. Curious question, because I'm sure at this point you've seen so many different types of weddings. Do you think that you can kind of pick up on what couples you think will last versus not last? Now, of course, there's no 100% guarantee, but like you've seen a lot, you know? I'm just curious. Like, I wonder, because obviously emotions are super high and it's not necessarily the most authentic
yes.
version of each person, But I am curious to know, like, if there's little signs, because I know I had a friend who ended up going through a divorce, and on her wedding day, I didn't pick up on this because she didn't open up to me about it. Mm-hmm. But like before she went down the aisle, before the doors opened, she like turned to her mom and she was like, "Do you think I should get married to him?"
Oh.
And they ended up getting divorced 4 years later. Mm. So like her gut knew, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm just curious if like as a wedding photographer, if there's certain energies you can kind of.
There's a lot of emotions and energy that's mm-hmm. happening, like you mentioned during the wedding day. So for me, I see a lot of different, certain attitudes come out on wedding days, right? Because mm-hmm. it's a very high stress day for most of the people that are involved in it, honestly, to be honest. But I can't really say that I was able to predict anything, because most of my couples, we stay in touch, you know, for like a year, a couple of years. The couples that return to me, usually they have their baby. So obviously we know, because they'll come back to me like, "Hey, will you take our family or, you know, lifestyle number photos?"
Oh, that's so
or
sweet.
Or family photos. So to me, that's like, okay, well, this makes me so happy. I got to witness your engagement. I got to witness your wedding, your first baby, or your maternity, your first baby. And now like you're adding another
really like part of their life.
Yes, yeah. So you became friends with your clients,
that's
honestly.
Awesome.
But I have seen a lot of, you know, emotions can run high during a wedding day. And I've seen sides of people that they probably didn't mean to say or do on wedding days. So I haven't been able to pick up on an energy like that where the couple didn't end up lasting down the road. So I can't really say that I have witnessed it, but I know I haven't personally picked up. What I have gotten to witness, and I'm so grateful for it, is that seeing my couples, you know, grow their family, and just following them along through the years. They come back for like a mini session or something, you know, whether it's like on the fall or spring. And then looking at them, it's like, wow, I would post the couple and say, "Hey, can we just like maybe recreate something where you like from your wedding, you guys are like holding hands or holding, just like your wedding day, right?" And they're like, "Oh," and I'm melting. Yeah. Talk about like the hopeless romantic, and I'm melting behind my camera. I'm like, "Oh, that's so sweet. Look at you guys."
Yeah.
So it's it's truly a blessing. I love what I do. Not only because I get to go to weddings like on the weekend, but witnessing my couples, you know, grow into the parents who they become down the road. It's such a joy.
Yeah.
Such a joy.
What were you doing before this?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I have a degree in apparel merchandising.
Okay.
I moved to Dallas in my early 20s after college, basically. And I worked, I was trying to be a buyer. That's what I wanted to be a buyer. That was my dream. So I moved to Texas. And at that time, I was working, I think they're still around, Dillard's. So I was trying to work up to their buying office at the time. And they start you off on the sales floor, and they give you certain areas to manage for a certain time. But the more that I was in this sales floor, I guess, you know, being out there, made me realize that this is not my calling. This is not my calling. I don't know. I'm just getting right to it. I just knew that it wasn't my calling. So I left that job. I became a sales rep for a handbag company out of New York at the time. So I basically still went into the malls, but in a different way. I'm telling you my life story. But shortly after, you know, my husband and I, you know, he moved to Dallas, and that's kind of where we got together, and we decided we're gonna, you know, move somewhere close where there's family.
Yeah.
He's from St. Louis, originally from St. Louis. I'm an Iowa girl. But I guess I failed to mention earlier that I have a passion for art and design. I have a minor in art and design. So a little bit of this, I guess, my creativity came from that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I was doing before.
I love that. See, I'm a big believer that, like, when people talk about career shifts, they almost – people forget that I think everything happens exactly when it's supposed to. I'm such a big believer in that. And I think that sometimes the earlier seasons of our life built us either as a person or skill sets mm-hmm. that we can use to build on mm-hmm. for what we're currently doing.
Yeah.
And I'm just a really big believer. This has kind of been a current theme that I've been discussing with a lot of my interviewees, guests on my podcast, where we're talking about just following your curiosity mm-hmm. and saying yes to life. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. like when your friend asked if you can tag along mm-hmm. as that photographer, and you're like, yeah, that sounds fun.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And then it was just something that you know when you know, which is annoying to hear when you're trying to figure out what your passion is.
Yeah.
But it's true.
I wouldn't have guessed if you would ask 20-something-year-old Iris, like, you're going to own your own business and you're going to be a wedding photographer and you're going to be creative. No, I'd be like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, really, no way. Owning a business, I suck at math. That's what I would have said. Like, no, that's scary.
Right.
That's so scary. Right. So I would have never thought that I would be where I am today.
Right.
Honestly.
But you're so capable. Everyone is.
No, yeah,
when you
exactly.
need to be, you will rise to the occasion.
Right.
And you'll learn to do it in ways that work for you. And I think this is also what people don't realize is that you don't have to do it alone. Mm-hmm. So there's always professionals or people in your family or friends who you can delegate tasks to.
Yeah.
That aren't your strong suit. And that's okay. You don't have to be able to do it all to have your own business.
Yeah.
You just have to have a passion and be authentic.
And, you know, when we first met, the second time we met, we had our coffee dinner date. I was so inspired with your story. And, you know, you were saying that this isn't what I wanted to do. This is when I believe you mentioned something about you, the corporate job that you had,
mm-hmm.
they gave you like a gift card or something.
Yeah.
And then you said, you know what? I'm going to buy me this. I'm going to start my own podcast.
Yeah.
And you just went for it. And I think I was so inspired by that. I'm like, wow, this girl's amazing. Like, I need that in my life, because sometimes I'm a natural creative and I'm inspired. But then sometimes, you know, when you go through the ins and outs of daily life and your business, you go into kind of a little bit of a groove.
And like a rut?
A routine.
Yeah.
And sometimes routine needs to be shaken up.
Yeah.
Right? And so when I met you and you said, I'm like, girl, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love hearing that story. That's so inspiring.
That's why it's so important to be part of networking events like Babes in Business.
Yes.
To meet other people, because like you said, it's very easy. I myself have felt that way. And then even just in the moments where we're introducing ourselves mm-hmm. and I have to say my story for the first time to some people, it's repeat at this point, but some people have never met me before. I'm like, oh yeah, I do have a cool story and I am passionate.
Yeah.
And how do I want to show up? And like having all those women hold you accountable and really push you to the next level is really, it's important, I think.
Well, that is, okay, so it's just within the past year or two that I've realized the importance of, the true importance of community and networking.
Networking, referrals, huge.
So, when I started my LLC, I basically was running purely on word of mouth. And Facebook was the thing back then. Instagram was, everyone was like, oh, that was so scary. I don't know Instagram. I'm just going to stick to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of my clientele came from word of mouth. And it was enough for me as a mom, as a wife, as a business owner. It was just enough for me to feel to feel fulfilled. I was happy because I was also doing a lot of family sessions at that time. Over time, my passion for weddings really just evolved and it grew and it became so much more stronger, and it's what I like doing.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Not to say that I don't do family photos. I still do that. I still love doing that. From then, you know, it shifted to doing headshots and currently going into branding.
Huge. That's so exciting.
So fun. Gotta be my girl.
I got you.
But to go back to that, let me see. It's easy to fall into the groove of things when you go in and out of your regular routine as a business. Right. So
I wanted to pause and say as well that, like, going back into just going for it.
Yeah.
I think the best analogy to help people when they're trying to decide to do anything is, and this is something that's so relatable for everyone, the hardest part about working out is getting to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Just walking through that door.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're there, even if you do the tiniest little workout, you feel so good about yourself that you showed up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most likely what's going to happen is once you're in there, you're going to be inspired and motivated by all the other energy and the people who are there and taking it seriously. And then you end up doing more of an intense workout than you would have done at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you keep going and you keep showing up, you'll kind of watch what other people do and you'll adjust what you do and you get a little bit better and you look up, you know, videos. And I think that's just the progression of anything when you're just starting. It's just walking through that door.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and not expecting to be perfect.
No. The only way you'll get better at anything, or you're referring to working out, right? Let's start with that. Let's use that. You said it's always starting is always hard for anything, whether that's running, whether that's beating. Lifting weights, starting your own business, starting a hobby, whatever that may be. It's just literally the best thing you can do is if you want to start something, is just take the first step. You don't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
You just do it. And then the next day, like you had just mentioned, the next day, okay, it becomes familiar. Okay, working out. I'm like, yeah, I'm a little tired today, but here I am at the gym. I'm doing it. And then the next thing you know, you're like, okay, I just did 3 sets of 10 reps of the chest press. Oh my gosh. And I was using a 15-pound dumbbells. Yes. And then you build it up. And it's no different. Like for me, as a marathoner, I did my first marathon last October.
That's amazing.
So excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I couldn't believe I was able to do that.
That's awesome.
It took me. Again, just going back, I decided I'm just going to do it. Just do it.
Right? It's a huge commitment.
It is. I've been a runner since my early 20s. I call it a runner because whether you're running a 5K or you're running 2 miles or you're running an ultra marathon, you're obviously a runner, right? You're a runner.
Yeah.
I've seen you on Instagram. I love that you're sharing your journey with us because I'm always tuned in when I see you. So you're a runner. With me, I said I was going to run, like all my friends from my 20s had already run like several marathons, and here I am, I haven't done one in, you know, a few years down the road. I've said I'm gonna do it by a certain time in my life. I'm gonna do it. And you know what, all I did was start. And this is just an advice to anything. You just do it. Take the first step and just do it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect.
Right.
You just put yourself out there. Let's just do it.
Totally.
And like I said, that goes with anything that you want to do. Right? You're a witness. You're a true testimony to that.
Yeah.
Your running journey has been incredible.
Thank you.
Good job. I'm so proud of you when you showed your medal. They're like, I got my medal.
I know. And it was the kind of thing too where it's like, I think there's something really powerful too about A, setting a goal, but doing it in a way where you have to show up, right? Because you could say you run a 5K,
mm-hmm.
let's say, because that's like, I feel like the first entry level for running is a 5K. But there's a difference between running a 5K on a Sunday by myself and then waking up early on a Sunday morning to go run it with the group. Mm-hmm. The energy is insane. And it's like, it's so cool to be part of that group, and it inspires you to want to be better, mm-hmm. you know, and having that medal. And it's funny because I was thinking about how a lot of people make fun of the fact that we're a generation where everybody needs a participation medal. But you know what? Hell yeah, you need a participation medal.
I myself.
Yeah. I did that. Like, yeah. Participating is not always easy. Not everyone mm-hmm. participates. And like, you showed up and you said you were going
to
do something.
And you don't know that person's journey prior to showing up at that start line.
It's not just like participation medals are worth something. Yeah. That is the win. That is an accomplishment. Are there separate medals for like the people who like were in first place or whatever? Sure. Maybe let's give them a special something or another.
Now,
but
there's two different energies that happen during a 5K race and when you are training by yourself.
Yeah.
So the 5K race where you're actually doing the race itself, right? You are getting so much energy from other people around you. The energy is just it's so powerful and mm-hmm. it's so uplifting. You feel like you could run this 5K in no time, right?
Yeah.
And the support is amazing. But there's something to be said when you're training out there all alone. It's pouring rain and you know you have to train. You don't have a treadmill inside. You don't have a gym membership, but you're like, darn it, I need to train today.
Yeah.
But the grit, the determination, and the hard work that just being a tough cookie and just saying, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do that. And then having a conversation with yourself as you're trying to get through that last mile or whatever it may be when you're training by yourself out there. I think that that deserves a medal on its own, honestly.
I mean, it's true with business too, right? Like we were just talking about this with family friends over the weekend where even with my coffee business, when I first, each step was following my curiosity, but like the first big thing was selling my coffee beans. And I was selling them before I even had a website to friends and family mm-hmm. just to get the real honest feedback. And then, but at that point, I didn't even have my professional bags yet. I had these brown paper bags that I was hand drawing the logo on and writing each person like a handwritten letter, thanking them for like being my first customers.
I love that though.
And then I bumped up to the bags that I have now, mm-hmm. but even those aren't my final bags. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's gonna evolve.
It's evolving. Mm-hmm. And like something as simple as like selling a product, there's so many nuances and steps. So whatever your dream is, like, yes, it is important to show up, but it's also important, I think, to adjust your expectations where it will happen when it's supposed to happen and you have to just keep showing up.
Yeah.
Because there's no rush for success. Anything worth having is going to take a long time. And
that's right.
Alex Hormozi is one of my favorite entrepreneurs for inspiration. And he talks about how like most brands and most dreams are going to take at least 10 years to build, mm-hmm. which you know is true too, because mm-hmm. you're 12 years in now, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now that you're 12 years in, this is a fun question I like to ask people. If all could go well, where would you like to be with your business in 10 years? If like no scarcity mindset, sky's the limit, all your dreams could come true, where would you want Christina Schmidt Photography to be?
Oh my gosh, I would love to still be shooting out there as a lead because I truly love the energy of a wedding day. Yes, it can be stressful, but there's so much like great moments that I love getting to witness. It's just, like I've said, it's a privilege. And there's something about seeing these moments that bring me so much joy, honestly. You know, so in 10 years, ideally, I would love to be the lead photographer still and all this shooting, all these weddings on my own. But I would like to also eventually have a team that carries the same mission as to my heart that I started my business with, right? Shooting weddings authentically and making sure that the couple is being, their wedding day is being captured the way that they truly wanted to be captured, like authentically them. So, in 10 years, that's probably why I run. That's probably why I make sure I'm fit so I can still carry all my gear.
Yeah.
Because on a wedding day, you have like your speedline, you have your heavy lenses, and you have two cameras like attached.
You look like Kim Possible, yes. is what I said.
I have two of my cameras on me and, you know, got my comfortable shoes on and just making sure that I'm not missing a beat and not missing a moment. But yeah, I mean, 10 years from now, I would love to still be the lead photographer, because that's how much weddings bring me joy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's real love. And that's such a blessing to have found something that you love that much that you want to be like in it, in a part of it.
I mean, yeah, I hope that God has that plans for me, right? Health-wise, because I mean,
you know what he does, and I'll tell you why, because like I'm a big believer in this, like I love Kabbalah, which is like spirituality and like the science of the soul, and it talks about how like the fulfillment comes before the desire. So if you have a desire for something, it's already written in the cards that it's supposed to be your reality.
Yeah.
So
wow,
that's the only thing standing between you and everything you want is your limiting beliefs. So before we wrap up, I just wanted to ask, is there anything that we haven't touched during this episode that you would like to share?
Right now, I think I kind of lightly touched on it. I wanted to say that we are also extending our services and branching out to branding photos. So
as snaps. So exciting.
I'd love for you to be one of my subjects one of these days. Things are in the work. I'm just ironing a couple of things out right now. And then once I have that all ironed out, you'll know.
Okay.
I'm excited for it, honestly. It's going to be fun. So one of the things that you had mentioned earlier about putting yourself out there, you know, it's scary. I just want to touch on this really lightly because you were talking about with the reels, putting yourself out there, doing all these things. As a photographer and as I'm branching out into branding as well, I invested in myself and got the hair and makeup and got a professional branding photo done as well. And
it looks so good.
Oh, thank you. Shout out to Jenna. She's amazing. She did all my, and Holly did my hair and makeup. To get a taste of my own medicine and what it would be like to be the subject, because I'm so invested in this that I want to experience what my subjects are feeling like in front of the lens. Because Jenna and I have the same, my photographer, we have the same vibe and energy. We're very bubbly and just a lot of energy. And so, and her work is phenomenal. I love her. So I wanted to be the person on the other side of the lens.
Yeah.
Just to really, as women especially, we have a lot of like insecurities. You're saying that nothing has to be perfect. You should just do it now because like this is your time. You're never going to be the same person as you are today tomorrow.
Right.
Right. So, and we always say, oh, I'm going to wait until I XYZ this. I'm going to wait until I get, I'm going to wait until I lose XYZ pounds, right? Do it now. That's what I learned in front of that. Cause I was the same thing with her. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait a little while because I want to get this lined up. And then I have to go buy a brand new outfit. Well, it turns out, shop my closet, everything worked out fine. And we all have our own insecurities about our body, no matter what size shape we are. Right.
Yeah.
And I just said, listen, Iris, I just had like a moment of discussion with myself. Like, hey, just do it now. Because if you want to be able to understand, you know, branding in another, to be the subject, to really know what your subjects are feeling, you need to do this. Just do it. Now's the time. Seize the moment.
I resonate and I respect that so much. Because I did this. That's why I'm a barista right now. Because I wanted to understand from the ground up how the coffee business worked.
Yeah.
How people were really experiencing things without the pressure of owning the business, where maybe it's a little touchy when people give me feedback. I don't care. I'm just a barista. Tell me what you think, you know? And I get to hear how my coworkers really feel as well. Like, what do they really think of management? What are their needs as baristas? Like, how can I be a better business owner for my team? Because I think there's, this will be for you. I think you should read this book because it's all about team management and building. It's called Unreasonable Hospitality.
Unreasonable
Hospitality. And I think there's a lot of businesses that are very much like the customer is always right. They're customer and client focused. But this book specifically talks about how important it is to invest just as much effort as you are into your customers and clients as your team. Mm-hmm. Because then you're going to have the best outcome possible. That energy, people are going to feel it. You know?
Right. Yeah, I believe that.
So I have this tradition at the end of every podcast episode. This whole podcast is based on this Hebrew quote, which is "Eze Chacham Halomei Mikol Adam."
Just let me just say,
yeah,
that sounds so good when you say it.
Oh, thanks.
It's amazing. And I have listened to your podcast, really? Watched your podcast. I'm like, oh, that sounds so good.
Oh, thanks. It means that one who is wise is one who learns from everyone. And we have learned so much from you today. But if you can leave us with like one last life lesson or quote, what would it be?
You know, I was thinking about this actually on the drive here. And I was thankful it wasn't raining, but... I was thinking about this, and right before I left my car, I wrote it down, and it's basically what's resonating, what's happening right now with my life, with my business. And I wrote it down just because I didn't want to forget it. Sometimes I get too excited and my brain just kind of, I don't know. I would say it's mom brain, but I would say to start before you're really ready.
Hey.
You know, launch before you're comfortable. And this again comes full circle to anything that you do in life, right? I always said, like with this branding branch that I'm launching, I would say, Noah, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna do this. But I've come to realize, you know what? I'm never ever gonna be ready. Now is the time to do it.
Yeah.
And just like with running, like you were discussing earlier, you get better at it every time. You built momentum. You built endurance.
Yes.
And it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Start before you're really ready. And you, there's something, you, no one's perfect when they start doing something. The first time I picked up a camera, I was not, oh my gosh, I don't want to even show you the photos that I'm taking.
That's okay.
But over time,
yeah,
you just keep doing it. I just said, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And you learn from that. So that is one thing right now that's resonating with everything that I'm working on with my projects.
So. And we've talked on that so much in this episode too. Yes. That's so perfect.
Right. So.
And you didn't even know exactly how the flow was going to be. It just worked out that way.
Oh my god!
I feel like whenever I ask my guests to share their life lesson or quote, it always sparks another inspirational quote from me. Mm-hmm. So another one from Alex Hormozi is that he says that confidence comes from competence.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I think so many of us are waiting till we feel confident enough. And you're not going to feel confident until you're done, until you have proven results.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to work on your confidence, work on having proven, unrefutable results that you're good at what you do.
And just by showing up every day, whatever it may be, you learn from that every day. Showing up, you get better. You just get better.
You're not guaranteed views. You're not guaranteed clients and customers. You're not guaranteed that you're going to go viral, but you are guaranteed that you're going to get better.
Yes, that's gold.
That's what will happen. So what can my audience do to support you?
You can find me on Instagram. I will spare you all the cringy reels, dancing reels, but you can find me on Instagram at Christina Schmidt Photos.
Yeah.
My website is ChristinaSchmidtPhotos.com. I'm also on Facebook as Christina Schmidt Photography. So you can give me a follow. The one way to easily support me is just, you know, if you're there and you happen to see my, or if you're on Instagram, I guess, and you happen to pass through my feed, give it a like. That comes a long way to support us. Or even just sending it to somebody. That really means a lot to us business owners.
It does. Share it on your stories. Absolutely. Yeah.
100%. Yes.
And we'll share all the links in the bio so people can find you and follow you easily.
Great.
Yes.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having
me. Of course. Thank you for coming. I had the best time ever.
Who knew? I had no idea where this was going to.
No one ever does.
Listen, I'm so glad we crossed paths. I mean,
100%.
I never in a million years would imagine I'd be sitting with you here on my very first podcast as your guest.
Of many more.
Oh my gosh, I would be so honored.
I think you will be.
Thanks to Babes in Business.
Yes. Well, guys, this has been another amazing episode. I hope you guys had a great time listening. I had a great time being here. And if you are not already subscribed, what are you doing with your life? Please go subscribe. I'm on all the streaming platforms. If you're not currently watching the video is on Spotify and YouTube. And I'm specifically trying to grow on YouTube. So if you can give your girl a follow, that would be amazing. Leave a thumbs up. And of course, if you enjoyed this episode, please share this with a friend who you think would benefit from this. I hope you guys have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go.